You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody. And welcome back if you're joining us, rejoining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Bunch of breaking news to start off the hour. The Brewers have logged their 12th win in a row, and everybody's looking forward to those free George Webb burgers. Did you stand in line back in 1987? Do you think the Brewers can go all the way? We will discuss that before the end of the hour. And in other more serious news, there was a decision today out of the D.C. Court of Appeals. That panel cleared the way in a 2-1 vote for the Trump administration to continue refusing to spend billions of dollars in foreign aid, finding that aid organizations that would have received that aid, bizarrely, lack standing to sue. I don't know what's going on in the D.C. Court of Appeals, but that certainly seems a wee bit bizarre. On the plus side, a different lawsuit challenging that same action by the Trump administration, this one filed in a federal district court out of Maryland. Today, a ruling came down from that judge finding that that case can proceed to discovery, rejecting the Trump administration's request for a dismissal of that action. So you've got two courts on both sides of the same issue relating to USAID funding. In other breaking news today, Politico reporting around 2 p.m. today, local time here in Wisconsin, that Trump will be looking to extend his seizure of control over the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department for longer than 30 days. Other reporting in the last 24 hours is that Donald Trump is working with the Pentagon, has directed the Pentagon to draft up very detailed plans to do what he's doing in D.C. across the country. Are you worried? Because I sure am. And the Texas saga about more partisan gerrymandering continues. We're going to rejoin that debate at 5:30. So if you have thoughts about whether or not Democrats should meet fire with fire, we're going to engage that discussion again at 5:30. Get your thoughts ready, and we'll kick that off at the bottom of the hour. Right now, I'm really excited to introduce a newly announced, just today, candidate for the 33rd State Senate District here in Wisconsin. His name is Mike Van Someren. We've got some sound from his announcement earlier today. Jacob, let her rip.
And because of that, I've decided that today is my day to do something. I am formally announcing my candidacy for the 33rd Senate District here in the state of Wisconsin. Now, I'm sure there's more than just a few of you out there asking yourselves, what qualifications does this guy have to be a state senator? Well, like all of you, I wear many hats. I'm a dad, a husband, a practicing attorney of over 13 years, a former UW offensive lineman. But most importantly, I care. I care about the people in this town. I care about the people in my district. I care about the people in my state. I care about the people in my country. I care about you and your family and your business and your ability to have the opportunity to raise your family as you see fit. And I don't believe that there are any problems that can't be solved if we actually try to solve them.
Mike, let me just start with what I think is an absolutely essential concept and idea to get across to all voters. You said, I care about your family and I care about your business.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that sometimes that basic message gets lost. Tell me why you want to run for office in this moment that is so partisan and so fractured and frankly so angry.
Well, because it's fractured and angry, right? Like, we need cooler heads to prevail. We need people that step up, that say what many of us believe. We're, you know, as a Democrat, former Republican, by the way, I'm not against business. I am not against people getting wealthy. I'm not against that. I just firmly believe that when you get wealthy, when you work hard and you find success, your job is not to pull up the ladder behind you, but to help the next group up. And that's something I've carried through my entire life, something I learned from my parents, from my coaches. You know, I played sports my entire life. It's one of those things that it's ingrained when we're young, and then when we get older, we're told to forget about it. And that's just not what I think this country stands for.
I couldn't agree with you more, Mike. I frequently talk about the idea that the way that Democrats sometimes talk about these issues that impact people's businesses and livelihoods, they talk about it all wrong. They just talk about the help part and not the respect and credit that is due to folks that start businesses, that work hard, that save, because they want their families to do well, because they want to pay for college for their kids, or they want to be able to retire and enjoy it. Those are things that should be applauded. What I want to see, and it sounds like you want to see, Mike, is that more of us are able to do that, that more of us can be successful, not fewer of us. I often say, if you're a guy or gal that's gotten a paycheck and maybe had a boss and started your business or tried to make payroll, I'm not talking about coming for your stuff. I'm talking about the billionaire overlord class. That's who I'm talking about. So bravo, Mike, and thanks for sharing that you're a reformed Republican trying to see the light. How do you plan on doing that? How do you plan on building those bridges and getting Republicans and Democrats to come back to the table and have these conversations about the actual issues that are keeping us from moving our state forward and helping families do better across the state?
Quite honestly, it's by talking and doing and coming and going out there and giving people, lending my voice to people that don't feel comfortable saying stuff, people that don't know the words that they want to say. You know, one of the things that I have developed over time, partly as being a lawyer, is being able to look at both sides of an issue and trying to find the middle ground. You know, I draw a lot of my past. And one of the things I learned as a young lawyer is, my job is as much about getting my client what they want, but with also finding out what my client actually wants. Because a lot of times people come in and you have these grand visions of everything you want, and you want 100% this, 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 and this. And you talk to them, you go, what do you need? And what is your ultimate goal? Because like I said, there's no problem that doesn't have a solution. We just have to find out what you actually want. You may like all of this stuff, and it would be great if you could have it, but if you can't have it, what do you actually want? And to your point earlier about, you know, that's why I say I'm not against business. I work with businesses every day. I work with very good businesses that, you know, one of the things that they pride themselves on is, you know, they didn't fire anybody during COVID. They kept everybody working. They did everything right. But they're still having a hard time competing against these large multinational corporations that are doing nothing but cutting rates, cutting pay, doing everything they can to funnel more and more money to shareholders. And that's actually a very small group of people. You know, it's a very small group of people that don't actually go in and make the economy run. And I'm not saying that that people that have capital, that have money, aren't important to the system. They absolutely are. But they're not the only people in the system. And the rest of us don't go to work just to feed them more money because they started a business. Without us, there is no business because we are the demand. Like, you know, you always hear it's Econ 101 and it's usually used derisively. You know, it's always used as a put down. But Econ 101 says there is demand. So somebody starts a business to meet that demand. But step one is always the demand. I have never met a business owner that has come to me and said, I want to start a business. I'm going to sell this product. And that's it. Like, there's like, here's all the demand. Here's all the steps I've taken to show that this business is viable. And that business is never viable without customers. And we are those customers. And so the idea that workers should just be grateful to have a job to occupy our time, if that job doesn't pay well enough for you to buy the things that you need and pay enough for you to buy the things that you want, is it really a job worth doing?
Folks, that is Mike Van Someren. He's going to be my guest host on this show because he's saying all the things that I've been harping about as an economist and a lawyer for a long time. I say it the fancy way, Mike, I'm going to take your language about this. Demand first. That's what makes the economy run. And the only folks that demand goods at the level that makes our economy run are middle class and working people, folks that get paychecks and have bosses and start small businesses. Without us, the U.S. economy does not do well. It is because of the middle class created that time that many Republicans hearken back to, the golden age, if they will, in the 50s and 60s and 70s. It's because we had a vibrant and growing middle class that had buying power that could consume things that we saw our economy start to take off during that period of time. I'm so with you on all of that, Mike. And seriously, you want to guest host the show and talk about just that? I am there for it. Let's talk a little bit about how you want this campaign to look and feel for you. I think Democrats have been not running particularly well in some instances because of the very messages that you're talking about aren't getting through. How do you want to campaign differently? What do you want folks in the 33 Senate district to know about what they can expect to see from you in this campaign?
Sure. So I want this campaign to be different in that I don't plan on texting people all the time. I don't want to spam your inbox. I don't want to spam your phone. I am calling people, obviously, to talk to them, find out what they're most concerned about. Like, the only way things get done is if our representatives are actually listening to us and know what's going on in our lives. And that's why we hire these people through our elections, is to care, do things to try and help that. Now, one of the biggest reasons why I ran is because I went to a listening session with Chris Kapanga, and there were Republicans there talking about ways that we could try and fund emergency medical services, EMS. And they were talking about all these different things that the state could do to help out. I mean, these people weren't asking for a handout. They were just offering different models that have worked in other states. And all they did was they sat there, he sat there and said, I don't believe in that. Well, that's not your job. Like, should I be lucky enough to get elected? My whole thing would be, I'm going to come in and listen to you. I'm going to hear what your concerns are. I'm going to hear what you want from us. And maybe the state can't provide it, or maybe that can't, but then I'm going to talk to you like you're a client, because that's exactly what you are. I work for you. So I'm going to talk about things that we could maybe do, and would that address the issue, and look at things in a unique way, because I truly believe that if we actually want to solve a problem, there's no problem that can't be solved.
Folks, again, that is Mike Sumrin. He is running for state Senate in the 33rd State Senate District. Something really important there that you hit on, Mike, and I have talked about this many times during my own career as a lawyer, and that is you often have to go through a lot of listening and asking different kinds of questions from folks and for me clients in the past to find out what it is that they're really going for and to make sure that you understand the problem that they're trying to address. And then sharing what is and is not possible in a very good faith, upfront way. I hear you saying, Mike, that you don't want to be the politician that promises everything to everybody, but bring some truth telling to the table as well as some good faith listening so that we can understand what can get done better in state government to serve folks. We're going to have to take care of a little bit of business. Mike's going to stick around with me. We're going to bring it back on the other side. Maybe we talk a little Badger football. Maybe I get in a little rugby. We'll have more fun and some business talk on the other side. Stick with me. I'm Maggie Don. We got Mike Van Sumrin, candidate for the 33rd State Senate District with us. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. And welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Don. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I am joined this half hour by Mike Van Sumrin. He is the newly announced Democratic candidate for the 33rd State Senate District here in the state of Wisconsin. And we are getting into why he decided to run and a bit of Mike's background. And one of the most fascinating parts of your background is that you were an offensive tackle for the Badgers. Tell us what that experience was like and why team sports helps prepare you for being an elected official.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a dream, right? I did not grow up with sports. My parents, my family was not big into sports, but I was huge as a child, like 6 feet tall in fourth grade. So, like, I was going to play sports, and I had I had great coaches all the way coming up. And then I had the opportunity to play for the great Coach Alvarez, Brett Bielema, and you know, I backed up some amazing guys. Joe Thomas, I was second string. You know, I walked on for the team. Had an amazing experience. I'm still friends with a lot of those guys today. And it team sports helps you realize that everybody is important. Like as an offensive lineman, I never scored a touchdown. I never threw a pass. I never did anything. But you know what? Every touchdown was because of me, at least in part. I gave the quarterback time to throw. I gave the running back a hold to hit. Like, we are all important. It's the same thing in our society, right? You may be the offensive lineman. You might be the garbage man, the plow truck driver, the bus driver, whatever it might be. You could be the quarterback. You could be the CEO. But you can't get anything done all by yourself. And, yes, I'm not trying to put down anybody that has built a business or anything like that. But you have to recognize that everything you're accomplishing is because of everybody around you. And part of your job is finding those right people. And that's a big part of being in government, is figuring out where your role is. Like, as a legislator, if I were to make it into office, I'm not going to make any money. Like, that's not my job. My job is to make sure the rules are in place so that the new business can start up and have a great opportunity to be the next Walmart or the next Costco or whatever it might be, right? The next, GE, whatever that might be. My job is to make sure that there's competition out there, that the rules are enforced fairly, that the playing field is level, that people are treated with respect and are safe and can know that they're going to come home every night. So they're going to buy stuff because they're going to plan for the future. Like, it's all interconnected. And this idea that one group is more important than the other, I just don't buy. And so that's where I think the team sports really comes in. It also teaches you grit, determination, not giving up, you know, as a walk-on. I'll be honest, when I came into the Badgers, I started playing scout defense because we didn't have enough guys on the defense on the scout team for me to play offensive line, which is what I was recruited to do. So I went over and I played defense for a season, and you know, I didn't make the field, but I was there as a body. I put a lot of effort in, and then the next year I got my opportunity to play offense, and you know, blew up my back that spring, so I didn't get a chance to play spring ball. But the following fall, I had the chance to learn and come back, and through determination and grit and great coaching and great teammates, I was able to actually make the travel squad as a walk-on.
That's amazing. That is Mike Van Someren, again, candidate in the 33rd State Senate District. I'm chuckling over here on my end of the radio waves, Mike, because I was nearly 6 feet by the time I was 14. And my experience playing women's collegiate rugby on a ragtag group of women that had never played. We didn't have university funding. We were selling brownies to make our plane fare to the national championship. We used to wear pennies before we could afford jerseys was exactly what you described. And that is, everyone on the field has a role to play. And I have always felt like that is an exact translation into democracy. Even when you stay at home, you're actually still having a role. It's not an active role. If you don't think politics is messing with you, it is messing with you if you don't want to deal with it. And I was reminded in this incredible Brewers run of something that Christian Yelich said right after he was brought onto the Brewers squad back in 2018. He said this, quote, "To be at our best and to be our most happy, we need each other." And I think those words and your sentiments, Mike, about democracy and the work that we need to do with one another being a team sport and a participatory team sport could not be more accurate than those words are today. Mike, one of the things I love to do with folks on the show, and I did it with my last guest, is ask them to share a little bit about themselves that might be a big surprise to folks. Now, you're introducing yourself to people in the 33rd Senate District, so feel free to share anything that might be a wee bit interesting or eyebrow-raising for you as a candidate that you think might be a little fun.
Well, that's a tough one because I'm pretty public, so pretty much everything is known about me. I will say I don't have anything eyebrow raising. I mean, other than, you know, I have two girls, which means I'm heavily involved in girls sports. And I'll tell you, they keep me on my toes. It is absolutely amazing how much energy young kids have.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel older by the second every time I'm chasing them around and watching them play, because they do not tire out.
Oh, I got a 2.5-year-old puppy, not a growing child, but I can say this, she exhausts me as well. We got girl dad Mike Van Sumeren with us. Are your daughters tall as well, sir?
So far, yes. They're 7 and 9, so we'll see where they end up. But yeah, they're growing. They're great. Cute as hell, and they absolutely are the light of my life.
I really appreciate your time, Mike. As your campaign continues, I'd love to have you back. We'll talk more about building an economy that works for everybody and respecting hard work and making sure that the playing field is fair, both on the gridiron and in real life. Again, folks, that's Mike Van Sumeren, candidate in the state Senate 33rd District. He just announced today. We come back on the other side. We're going to rejoin that debate we started at the top of the show about whether or not Democrats should engage in hyper-partisan gerrymandering if Texas proceeds on its course. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're just joining me. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has requested federal disaster aid as communities across southeastern Wisconsin continue to recover from massive storms and historic flooding from over the weekend and continuing into early this week. Evers submitted the request today for Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, to work with the state on a formal federal preliminary damage assessment. Gee whiz. Wonder what Donald Trump will do with that. This also coming on the heels of what we shared yesterday on this program, that Republican Representative Scott Fitzgerald had sent a letter yesterday to the president asking for similar, which I thought was politically quite smart to have a Republican lead on that. Watch this space. We'll see if Donald Trump actually does want to serve all residents and citizens of this country, regardless of which party may sit in a state house or a governor's mansion. But I wanted to get back to the issue that we started the show with today in our discussion with Ruth Conniff, the editor-in-chief of the Wisconsin Examiner. Ruth penned an op-ed published, I believe, yesterday or on Monday, arguing that Democrats should not meet fire with fire when it comes to the hyper-partisan mid-decade gerrymandering that Texas has proposed to do at Donald Trump's request to strip Democrats in the state of Texas from 5 House of Representatives congressional seats in that state. I wanted to share some of the baseline facts about that situation occurring in Texas. Again, we had some breaking news today that the state of Illinois' court that had been requested by the state of Texas to effectively allow criminal warrants to be issued in Illinois for the Texas Democrats that had fled the state to deprive the legislature of a quorum to pass these mid-decade hyper-partisan gerrymandered maps at Donald Trump's request. They had issued criminal warrants, asked Illinois to enforce them. Illinois, a court this earlier today, declining to do so. In Texas, Democrats win 45% of the statewide vote. However, Republicans control 68% of the congressional seats that Texas has. That's as it stands right now. What Ken Paxton and Governor Abbott, Ken Paxton, the Attorney General in Texas, who, by the way, should actually be locked up for various fraud crimes right now. He should actually be in prison, not an attorney general, but that's a topic for another day. AG Paxton and Governor Abbott are proposing to strip even more of those congressional seats away, despite the fact that 45% of Texans vote for Democrats. That is not democracy, small d. The question that is being debated coast to coast is, should Democrats in completely blue-controlled states like New York and California do the same if Texas proceeds? I want to hear from you. 855-752-4842. In the state of Wisconsin, while Ruth at the beginning of the show was talking about the fact that we do have fairer maps when it comes to our state legislature. We do not have fair maps at all when it comes to our state congressional districts. Because again, here in the state of Wisconsin, most of the time when we have statewide elections, Democrats win. Least in modern in the last 10 years. And yet, 75% of Wisconsin's congressional seats are held by Republicans. So tell me why that's fair. 50%+ vote in the state of Wisconsin vote for Democrats, yet Republicans hold 6 of 8 of our congressional seats in the House of Representatives. Make it make sense. And here's the thing. So Ruth's argument, again, editor-in-chief of the Wisconsin Examiner, was Democrats cannot in good faith say we need independent redistricting and we need to not have legislators picking their voters. We need voters deciding who's going to represent them, not the other way around. I understand her point. But if we have no democracy left after Donald Trump gets done, what independent redistricting committee would matter anyways? Furthermore, I think that there are legal ways in any kind of legislation that would pursue this in blue states to put limits on it, time limits, that these maps will only be good for a given amount of time, the longest of which would be at the time of the next census in 2030. And would require independent redistricting committees. And that Democrats should be out there saying to Texas, to Donald Trump, to any state, including Florida, that's threatening to do this, here's your off-ramp. Put a settlement offer out there. Put something in writing. Ask them to come to the table. We're not going to do this. You shouldn't do this. Now, I haven't sat down and done the congressional representative math. While it is true that Republicans control all three branches of state government in more states than Democrats do, Democratic states tend to be the more populated ones. So I don't know if the math actually maths in that way. Meaning, who actually ends up with more seats if we end up in this temporary race to the bottom? I want to hear from you, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Importantly, Common Cause, a nonpartisan organization that's been around for decades, whose central mission has been to advocate for independent citizen-led redistricting committees, to get rid of the partisan gerrymander, they came out today and made this statement. While independent redistricting commissions remain the gold standard to end partisan gerrymandering, as political leaders in states like Texas are imposing mid-decade partisan maps to distort the will of the people ahead of the midterm elections in 2026, Common Cause will closely evaluate and will not automatically condemn countermeasures to these actions. Common Cause then went on to outline 6 fairness criteria for any mid-decade redistricting: proportionality, public participation, racial equity, federal reform, endorsement of independent redistricting, what I just said, as well as time limits, also what I just said. Great minds do think alike, and let's hear from each and every one of you. Charles from Milwaukee, welcome back to the show. What do you got to say, sir?
Hello, Maggie. I don't see it as a race to the bottom. Democrats usually try to be on the up and up. You know, if one of our politicians do something wrong, the other politicians call them out. They wouldn't put up with the things that the Republicans allow their members to do. But at this point, we almost have to fight fire with fire. And I think that's one of the issues that a lot of Democratic constituents have, that we seem to let them slap us in the face and say, well, you know, we're going to have the, you know, we're going to take the high road, as they're steady slapping us in the face. where they fight dirty. We know they fight dirty. They've always fought dirty. I mean, just look at how they're rolling over and allowing Donald Trump to just do whatever he wants to do, whether it's because they want the power or because they're scared of his base and they don't want to be primaried. I have no idea, but at some point, the Democrats have to fight fire with fire. We just can't keep sitting back saying, well, we'll see if our democracy holds. They lied and said, well, Democrats are being overworked up about Project 2025. And look how much of Project 2025 has been implemented already.
Basically, all of it. I mean, that's what they're doing, right?
Donald Trump isn't going to do this. Well, Donald Trump is doing everything that people said he was not going to do. And so at some point, Democrats have to stand up and start fighting back.
Thanks so much, Charles. I really appreciate that take. That is the overwhelming consensus on the text line. You want to get in your two cents. If you are maybe more in Ruth's camp, the Democrats can't go down this road. 855-752-4842. If you're more with me that, hey, our democracy hangs in the balance and we cannot simply hand over the keys and say, thank you, I'll take some more cheating, please, from Republicans, give us a call as well or a text, 855-752-4842. Question from Mark from Sussex. Is it legal to do it in Texas? It appears to be legal. Is it legal to do it in California, Illinois, New York? Mark says maybe it's not. I do believe it is. The point, I believe, Mark, is that in those states, because they are completely controlled by Democrats, the laws or whatever needed to be adjusted could be. I do not believe that the independent redistricting committees have been written into those states' constitutions. That's the rub. Let's go back to the phones again. Join our discussion, 855-752-4842. Troy from Mount Horeb, thanks for joining us. What do you got for us?
Yes, I agree with you, Maggie. We've got one of the things that people said that in the presidential campaign was the infield Democrats fought for us. And I didn't feel that way, but other people said that. And this is laying down on this is not fighting for us. And we need to do whatever we need to do to protect our democracy.
I agree with you, Troy. We're in that moment. Again, I mentioned some of the breaking news over the last 24 hours. Donald Trump confirming this morning that he will be extending his seizure of control over the D.C. Metropolitan Police, reporting from the Washington Post that the Pentagon has drawn up detailed plans about having a national strike force ready to be deployed in the face of, you know, citizens exercising their First Amendment right to protest the government's policies in blue cities run by black mayors. That's what's going on to the cost of hundreds of millions of dollars. So we're going to have what? Military occupations of blue cities? And we'll just let Republicans cheat their way into control of the House of Representatives? I think not. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you're up, friend.
Yeah, I think that, you know, they should call the question that the Constitution actually says that Texas should not be doing this at this point in time. So they choose to ignore the Constitution as they apparently are going to do, because it's supposed to be only every 10 years you do this kind of redistricting kind of thing. Then, you know, all holds are up, because Congress has ignored Donald Trump, ignoring the Emoluments Clause, ignoring Posse Comitatus, and now ignoring, you know, this whole census thing that, it is just beyond ridiculous that we should just have to suck it up. Well, you know, that it's when republics collapse, it doesn't work out so well for some of the politicians, as history showed what happened in Rome, because everybody, all the leaders in Rome had to worry about the food they were eating in case somebody had dropped something.
Poisoned them. Yeah, that's the rub there, Mark. Totalitarianism and fascism and authoritarianism in modern history seizes control of governments through so-called democratic processes. We're going to turn the page, and when we come back, I want to hear from you. Were you one of the folks back in 87 getting one of those free burgers?
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. Welcome if you're just joining us. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network on Wednesdays, at least for the last segment of the day. I like to talk about anything but politics because it can be so depressing. And we got quite the gift this afternoon. After I got on the air, the Brewers secured their 12th win in a row against the struggling Pittsburgh Pirates. Brewers with 76 wins over 44 losses on the season, absolutely smoking the rest of the MLB, the hottest team in baseball by a long shot. It has been an absolutely miraculous ride. This afternoon's game included in that. As a result of their 12 straight wins, George Webb is going to be giving away free hamburgers. Were you around in 1987? Did you go get a free hamburger from George Webb? They gave away about 186,000 of them back in 1987. I want to hear your fond recollections. Are you going to get in line? Boy, did the Milwaukee area need this one, huh, folks? After all of these devastating floods, here's something to bring us together and give us some joy. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Dave from New Berlin on the text line says, no free burgers for Dave. I was all of 17 years old and too stupid to figure out what was better, a freaking hot dog or a hamburger. I recall being in a campground when the game-winning home run was hit. Oh, Dave, thanks for sharing your memories. Maybe you can cash in on a free burger this time around. Again, the Brewers' hotness cannot be understated. This is their fourth sweep. In other words, they won all three games against the Pirates, their fourth sweep in a row. That is just unheard of. And it's the second time in under 2 months that the Brewers have won 10 or more games in a row. That never happens. They've won six in a row at home. And today and yesterday, William Contreras seems to be coming out of his slump. It is incredibly exciting. Cam from Appleton on the text line saying, I couldn't eat those burgers back in 87, Maggie. I wasn't born yet. I remember standing in line with a couple of my good friends, Claire and Gretchen, getting that free burger. I think we were in line for over a couple of hours back in 87. I was in my double digit years. I'm not going to give away exactly how old I was back then, but you can figure that math out. I think the Milwaukee Brewers, you've heard me talk about it before on this program, are incredibly special. I think the team itself reflects a lot of the spirit and character of not just Milwaukee, but the entire state. Not a lot of respect, often overlooked, nearly always underappreciated, and full of scrappy hard workers that want to work together as a team to move forward. I think that describes Milwaukee to a T. I think it describes Wisconsin to a T. And I, other than Jesse Winker, and he doesn't count, I would ask you to find a Brewer or a former Brewer who's played here for more than a couple of seasons who will tell you that they basically didn't have the best time of their life playing here in Milwaukee. It is a universally held sentiment, and that's for one reason and one reason only. It's about the fans. We show up when they're doing crappy, we show up when they're doing amazing, and we cheer for our underdog Brewers. Why? Because we see ourselves in them. And I think this moment, these 12 wins, present such an amazing opportunity for us to see ourselves, not just in the Brewers, but in our fellow fans. For us to have a moment to come together across the state, to revel in our underdogness, to revel in our underappreciation, to revel in the fact that we overcome, we triumph, we persevere, we work hard. There's a few basic tenets that I believe in my personal and professional life. tell the truth, try hard, do good, and apologize when you screw it up, and then try again. These are things that I think, I hope, most of us believe in. And so I hope, again, in this moment with these incredible Brewers, this incredible underdog team who entered the season with no respect, with all prognosticators thinking there was no chance the Brewers would even be in the division hunt, let alone the hottest team in baseball sitting atop all MLB rankings at this point in the game, on track for over 100 wins this season. So let's take this moment not just to see ourselves in the Brewers, but to share this joy and see ourselves in each other. And perhaps most importantly, in those that we disagree with. To challenge ourselves to share the joy, to share what we love about the Milwaukee Brewers and about underdogs writ large, and to use that as a catalyst and a reminder that we are all called to find those points of shared values and to find bits of ourselves in one another, and especially, again, those who we disagree with. Roger from Stevens Point pointing out that Bob Uecker is our inspiration. I agree. Folks, that's going to do it for me today. I'll be back tomorrow. Let's have some fun tonight. I hope you're celebrating the Brewers' 12th win. I know I will be. That's going to do it for me. Remember, I'll stand up for you, but I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together. Go Crew!
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.